Strange Times in New Boston, Karen Scott, Select Board Candidate Interview. Greetings and welcome to this special edition of Strange Times in New Boston. In this episode, I will be interviewing Karen Scott for the New Boston Board of Selectmen. New Boston is blessed with a great local paper, but there's only a little limited amount of space that the paper can devote to covering candidates. Part of the purpose of this podcast is to provide an area for the long form of discussion better suited to exploring ideas that would never get the depth of coverage they deserve in print. At this time, I have Karen Scott with me, so I would like the studio audience to welcome our guest. Welcome, Selectman Karen Scott. Before we get off into the weeds on the Selectman stuff, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. My name is Karen Scott, and I am running for a second term of Selectman. I moved here to New Boston approximately 19 years ago with my husband. We found New Boston to be a nice, small, quaint town. We loved the land, and we wanted to have a lot of room for our dogs to run around and play, and that is why we moved here.
New Boston is a great place for dogs and kids, I would say.
I would agree with that.
So do you have a family, children?
I have two German Shepherds. Those are my kids. I think they get spoiled more than most.
I have two cats myself, and they really like it here. They stay inside all the time and get lots of love. Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about yourself?
Well, I've been working as an advanced EMT for the last 20 years in the city of Nashua. I enjoy it. I love working with people. We have our good days. We have our bad days. But that is what keeps us going. I do a lot of instruction right now. We're currently in the midst of teaching EMT refreshers to the National Fire Department. And I do numerous CPR classes a week.
Well, that's a great skill to have. And if I drop dead here on the floor, you can fix me right up.
Well, we're hoping that does not happen. Thank you.
Yeah, that'll make doing the podcast a little harder. Yes. So you seem like a reasonable enough person. You had the good smarts to live in New Boston for 20 years. Didn't you have enough of one term of a selectman? Why are you going back for more punishment?
Well, sometimes it does feel like a little bit of a punishment. But I've learned a lot in the last 3 years. Lots of people don't understand what really is involved in running a town, the day-to-day operations, the behind the scenes, and that is something that I have learned over the last 3 years. I appreciate all of the different people that work here, the department heads. I've learned quite a bit about each department, and what my biggest goal is trying to make sure that the town operates in a very financially responsible manner.
Well, that's good. We all want the town to operate in a financially sustainable manner. I only know the selectmen from what I saw through the lens of serving on the finance committee. What do you think the listeners should know about being on the Board of Selectmen?
Well, I think what you should know is that the Board of Selectmen, we're a board of three, and we do get together every couple weeks. Sometimes we have non-public meetings that we have to discuss personnel issues, et cetera. But there's a lot of behind things. There's a lot of collaboration that we have to go through to try to come to agreements to get town policies or operating budgets passed, to make changes if need be, address issues that are going on in the town. And there's a lot that we have to do. There's a lot of homework that has to get done off hours. It's not uncommon for me to spend weekends sitting there doing homework.
Oh, lovely. Your dogs must like that.
Well, they like it because I'm home. And if they harass me enough, they'll get a treat. So that's how that works.
Are there a series of interminable meetings? The school board meetings would sometimes just drag on and on. Sometimes I would read every title of every magazine that I could observe in the school library during board meetings just to keep myself from throwing myself out a window. Has any of the selectmen ever jumped out of a window?
Fortunately, no. None of the selectmen have jumped out of a window. I would imagine, just speaking from my own experience, that maybe a couple times we would have liked to, but it has not happened. We've had a couple very large meetings. One of them was Mudville. I called it. That was my very first meeting as a selectman.
Wow.
And we were a packed house.
Yep.
And the second one was when there was discussion over a noise ordinance. We actually had to move the select meeting upstairs of the town hall.
So, yeah, I think I remember those controversies.
Yes.
Sometimes I've gone back and looked at the data for the selectman votes, and I'd like to try to do a data analysis on it, like I do for the state reps. And I wish that there was the equivalent of recorded roll call votes from the selectmen, like the NH House does, because it makes it very easy to copy the information out, put it in a spreadsheet, and you can do analysis and see how people are actually voting. Considering the number of 3-0 votes I see recorded from the Board of Selectmen in the minutes, you guys must really like each other. Is it really as kumbaya as it looks on paper?
Well, paper can be very deceptive. I would say that yes, we do. If you actually listen, I think we've been trying very much harder lately to do the roll call votes so that they're out there. But the biggest thing is that you have to work together as a team. We don't always agree, but we are a board of three, and all three of us need to be looking out for what is in the best interest of the town. So there's a lot of collaboration, and sometimes we have to make some sacrifices, and we have to give a little to take a little.
Is there a spirit of compromise on the board, would you say?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Probably around some issues, but not others.
Not others, no.
Okay. So you're saying that you just don't sometimes just stop the meeting, break out the guitars, go outside, look at the stars and sing campfire songs? That never happens?
No, not usually. Nope. We do not. No. Nope. S'mores at the
No s'mores. Nope. No s'mores at the selectmen.
Nope.
Do you ever get called out and have to race around town with the siren on?
Fortunately, no, but spring is coming and I've already... had a couple complaints in regards to some of the muddy roads because it warmed up. So I'm sure that those days will be coming soon.
Yeah, well, if you want to take the road from my house down McCurdy, there are some real nice potholes down there. Okay, so let's talk about the budget a little bit. I see the town is asking for $5,720,000 this year. If I look at if I look at 2019, the town asked for $5,832,000, which is more than they're asking for today's number. Today's budget is $111,000 less than the 2019, the good old days, but $197,000 more than the plague-ridden year we currently inhabit. I have two questions. What do you think about the number, and what is controlling costs?
Well, the number is high, but I think that all of the department heads really tried to look at their budgets and keep it in check. Unfortunately, there were a lot of employment issues, so we had to, you're going to pay more for employees, which we have a good group of employees in town, so it's okay. But there's a lot of other expenses in town. They did a lot of road work this year, and that's trying to incorporate into next year as well. At the finance, the last 2 years, I had been on the finance committee and was able to go line by line and kind of tear it all apart and really ask questions. I was not on the finance committee this past year, so I did not ask all the questions. And there's some concern there because I think there was a statement made at one of our meetings where it was said that, there wasn't a lot of questions at the finance committee, so everyone must have done really good. And in my feeling as a select board member, that is something that we really need to ask.
What, Brandy Mitroff isn't down there nickeling, diming the police department for how many paper towels they use?
Nope, she's not there anymore.
Oh, well, that's sad. She was a real finance hawk. And I know that from being on the finance committee that unless you're just right in the middle of it, it's very difficult to understand. Do you think this is an effect of COVID?
Not particularly. I think most people, as far as COVID goes, a lot of the COVID expenses that we have came from part of the government, their recovery funds. So we got a lot of money for COVID PPEs, et cetera, like that.
So we're getting some love from is that from the state or from the federal government?
I believe from the feds.
The feds. Wow. Yeah. Federal love. That's nice. Yeah. So if I read the mood of the people rightly, I think that most people are ready to return to normalcy or as close as we can get. You get out and mix with a lot more of the town than I do. What do you think about the mood of the citizens?
Personally, I feel that it's really a mixed bag. Some of the citizens, I would say when I talk to people, I would say 90% of the people are ready to move on.
90%.
I would say, yes. Most of the people that I personally speak to, they are ready to move on. COVID is one of those things. It's here. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be around. And I think most people want to just move on with their life, be smart about it, but continue. We do have some that are still a little concerned, and it is what it is.
Well, some people are vulnerable, and nothing we're going to do is going to change that. It seems like it's gone from a pandemic to an endemic stage, and that this COVID is just going to be another disease. Every year we had flu season and cold season, and now we're going to have COVID season.
Yes, we will.
So I'm just going to ask about your thoughts on the fire station proposal. 4 years ago, they were asking for $2.75 million, and now it is up to a whopping $8.9 million. That seems like an awful lot of money these days. Seems like I remember standing on the floor of the gym at NBCS a few years back and telling everyone that would listen that if they were going to build a new fire station, they should do it now before the economy was blowtorched by the previous presidential administration's policies. I never foresaw how much worse the economic outlook would be if the previous president was defeated. And that seems like we're at where we're at now. $8.9 million seems like a tough sell to me.
Personally, I would have to agree with you. $8.9 million is a lot of money. The average tax increase per household is going to be probably somewhere around $400 per year. And I think that's going to hurt a lot of people. I have always said for the last 5 years that I am absolutely in favor of a safety station. That is something that we really need to have. I think both the fire department and the police department could benefit from that. But there's some aspects of the current warrant that I'm really not in favor of. And part of that is where they're refurbishing the police station to make that a rec department.
That seems like they're going to move the rec department from the white buildings by the school to where the police station is now?
That's what they're talking about, because the rec department needs more room for storage, et cetera. But in the $8.9 million, they've put in approximately $50,000 for the rec department. Unfortunately, I believe that there's going to be a couple hundred thousand dollars more required in next year or the year after for upgrades to that building, just to make it habitable for the rec department.
Well, aren't they going to have to transport the children from school to the after-school program then?
Well, that would be another cost that I had not thought of. So,
As bad as the white buildings are, and my kid has gone to the after-school program for at least 6 years, I don't really like the white buildings, but they're right next to the school, and that's
correct.
So let's move on to the subject of COVID. So have you had COVID?
I actually had bad COVID twice.
Twice, wow.
Yes. Basically, first time was I had flu-like symptoms. That was about it. No fever. I did have the chills. Second time, I really had nothing. I was just tired. That was the only thing I had the second time I had it.
It's spooky to have a disease running around that the only symptom might be you're tired.
It is, yes.
So we've already talked about COVID in relation to the budget. Do you want to add any thoughts about COVID, how it's affected serving on the board? I know that there's some people that are still doing remote. Is that true?
We as a select board have all the selectmen are in the town hall during meetings. Some still feel that it's a requirement that they want to wear masks. We had a mask discussion actually just a few weeks ago, but they wanted to make the town employees wear masks. And in reality, unless you're wearing an N95 mask, I really don't see the point, because those cloth masks, surgical masks, really aren't cutting it.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I haven't come to a conclusive data point, but it seems like the social distancing does a lot more than wearing a cloth mask that isn't fitting. And how many days have you worn this thing for? It's just virus particles are too small to get trapped in those things.
Well, it's true. And we spent quite a bit of money putting up plexiglass shields, et cetera. So we did our due diligence trying to make it as safe as possible for both the employees and the citizens that come into town hall to do their business.
That seems reasonable. 2 years ago, we really didn't know what we were dealing with, and we have a lot better idea now. I think we can move on from there.
Yes, I would agree.
So this is the part of the interview where I really ask you the hard question. And for this hard question, a certain churlish sixth grader listener wants to know, What does anti-disestablishmentarianism mean?
Wow. Well, opposition to the withdrawal of state support or recognition from an established church.
Wow, that is a really good answer, but I'm sorry. No, that is incorrect. I'm sorry. The correct definition of anti-disestablishmentarianism is whatever Merriam-Webster says it is. So,
well, now I've learned something.
Is there a statement you would like to make to the listeners? Would you like to speak directly to them?
Well, I would just like the listeners of New Boston to know that while I may not always agree with certain items that come up in day-to-day town operations, as a selectman, it has been my responsibility to operate in the best interests of the town and its citizens. If reelected, I will continue to work hard to limit tax increases, provide for responsible spending, and to ensure positive future growth in the town of New Boston. And that is my goal.
Great. We need people out there controlling costs for us and keeping their eye on the budget. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Selectman Karen Scott. Thank you, Karen Scott, for joining us today. Good luck in your bid to retain your New Boston Selectman seat. We wish you well. Remember, listeners, all that is required for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. Don't forget to vote on March 8, 2022. I will say that again. Vote on Tuesday, March 8, 2022. Vote for the kids. Vote for Karen Scott. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send them to me at Strange Times in New Boston, all one word, at hushmail.com. Live free or die.